listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the light.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries.
When the storms within us rage,
you are the light.
You're the master of the waves. You are the lifeline, the mighty God who saves.
Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Morning, folks. Welcome to Lifeline. Dr. Bob here. Look, and welcome to WCNO. And so I want you to know, if you have friends anywhere in the world, they can pick this program up 24/7. Just simply get on the internet, go to WCNO, scroll down to that word on demand, click on that, you'll see a calendar. Click on that calendar and choose any Saturday. Again, my son Landon and I have about 2 years teaching on here, so there's just plenty of everything. You can download it free, you can podcast it, but we're out there. And we're bringing you the word of the Lord. Also, I want to invite you Easter Sunday, sunrise service, at the park on Indian River Drive. FIT campus. It's a magnificent, beautiful park. First Baptist Church is doing a service there at 6:30 Easter Sunday morning. And my son Landon will be drumming. Come on out and check us out. It's going to be a great, great, great service. I mean, free coffee, free donuts. Come on, bring your children. Come out now and enjoy the sunrise service with First Baptist Church in Jensen Beach. And also, if you're looking for a good church, we're right across from Wendy's in Jensen Beach. So welcome. Come on. Listen, for the last 5 weeks, I've been talking to you about the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit of God operates. I've been talking about more than just the working of the Holy Spirit, but how the Spirit of God operates. I've covered everything from the beginning of the Bible right up to now in the New Testament. And I've covered, there's many spirits mentioned in the Bible. For instance, the seven spirits, the eyes of the Lord, that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. That God's spiritual government, so to speak, I've talked to you about them. And I've talked to you about spirits in the Old Testament that God would send to the earth to even do the work of evil spirits, like to trap Ahab, to get Ahab to fall in Ramoth Gilead. I'm talking about those kind of things. Many spirits now, and you need to know this. There's many, many spirits. Then there's God's spirits, God's creative spirits. Then there's God, the Holy Ghost. And then how about your spirit? Do you understand when the Bible is talking about your spirit or the Holy Spirit? Now, the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs our life. But do you really know and understand the difference? This is Understanding the Spirit of God, Part 5. Look. I appreciate you. I want you to know that, and I've been studying this stuff for many, many years, and I see that we are not taking advantage, and not being led by the Spirit of God as we should. We don't invest enough time to learn and to understand it. Paul has given us three chapters: chapter 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, 13, and 14. Whole three chapters just dedicated to the operation of the Holy Spirit of God and His gifts. Now, we need to understand them very clearly. There's a lot of, and probably a lot of big investment here. This is a real big deal, and I'm going to do the best I can to go through these gifts one by one, explain them to you and how they operate. And if we have any time left at the end of the program, I'm going to open up. You can call in with anything you've been having struggles with, or you don't understand, or Any question you've ever had about the Holy Spirit and His gifts, and I'm going to answer them for you. All right, now, Paul says in 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Is he kidding? 2,000 years, we are still ignorant about the gifts. This really may be the thing that the people of God are more confused on. And this is the subject that most Christians understand the least, and yet Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, the reason why you're ignorant, they are not being taught properly from the pulpit. I've had plenty of time to think about it. I'm a guy that studies the church. I'm a guy that loves the church. I've been in the church. I can count on my hands how many times I've missed church in 41 years. But I've seen some very little of real good teaching coming on these gifts. And that's why I suppose we're ignorant. And yet Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And to top it all, listen to this. This is 14th chapter now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Here's what Paul says. I want you to think about this. You believe Paul for everything else. You believe him when he tells you how to get saved. See if you can believe him now. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, that is, if you think you're a spiritual person, let him acknowledge that the things that are written to you are the commandments of the Lord. Can you imagine that? They are the commandments of the Lord. If you reject or change them today, you would have to be rejecting or changing the commandments of the Lord. Paul made this clear. He said, I'm telling you these things, they are the commandments of the Lord. And yet we do not operate in them. We don't teach them from the pulpit. We stay away from it. And it is the commandments of the Lord. Paul made that clear now. Then he says this, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Are you? Are you ignorant about these gifts? I find most people are. He said, if you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. He wants you to know you're ignorant. If you don't understand them, if you don't pursue them, if you're not teaching them from the pulpit, if you're not learning them from your church, you're in ignorance about them. Here's where we start. He says, for to, and he breaks them down and teaches them not only what they do, but how to use them. I'm amazed at how we don't get a hold and go with them to edify the church. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Wisdom, oh friend. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have wisdom that comes direct from God? You can ask for the word of wisdom, and it'll help you. You can wear the mind of Christ. You know what that means? Wisdom from God, the word of wisdom, is wearing the mind of Christ Jesus up, always making the right call. We'll call it spirit smart. Would you like to be spirit smart today? That's what it really means. The wisdom, it's a gift. But you know, you have to pursue these things. You have to acknowledge them. You have to ask the Lord, are they true? If so, I want them. I mean, it's laying out here, the word of wisdom. Do you have it? If not, pursue it. Go for it. Knowledge, the word of knowledge. What a beautiful gift. Father God, by the Holy Spirit, can give you a word of knowledge for a person to help them when you had no clue what to say. And then the gift of wisdom will tell you how to use that knowledge. It is a wonderful gift. God will just show up. I've seen this operate so many times. I've been praying for people who have no clue what their problem is. And God showed me that they have a problem with lying or maybe they have a childhood problem, hidden secrets, whatever. But God will give you a word of knowledge for that person to help them out. I mean, it is an amazing thing. It's being spirit smart. Simple as that. Spirit smart. God smart. You be praying. You don't know what's wrong with this person. You don't help this person. But God will give you a word of knowledge for that person. He'll tell you that person has been hurt. That person has been hurt by their parents. That person has been hurt. That person. Tell them I love them. Tell them this. Tell them it's a word of knowledge and it'll change a person. I have seen it change a person. I've seen it set a person free. It's a valuable gift. The Lord wants you to ask for it. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, this is supernatural faith, what we call not earned faith. And the word says, you know, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So you get faith primarily from hearing and listening and learning the word of God. But the Holy Spirit can put in you this gift of faith for believing for something you never dreamed of. Especially when you minister to somebody else. And the Lord will give you supernatural faith above the norm. It's faith to step out and do something bold that you normally wouldn't do. It is a gift of faith. Now, you know, primarily faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, we get most of our faith in building up our relationship with the Lord where we learn to trust him. And out of that, then we have faith to speak for him and to believe him. But this is a supernatural gift of faith that God bestows upon you. Gifts of healing. Now, there's different kinds of gifts in this area. Now, notice it's a gift of healing. It's gifts. Some people seem to have gifts for getting certain diseases cured, and some have gifts for this and that. But believe it or not, there are people with these gifts. They're kind of scary because we're just not being taught and trained to use them as we should. Now, I've been miraculously healed, and I walk in divine health. So I'm never not being healed. I totally trust the Lord for my healing. But there is gifts of healing with people. I've seen people just, and there's no respect to a person. It may be a housewife, whoever. It may be the preacher. It may not. It may be somebody sitting there in the audience. But there's gifts of healing that operate in the church. Seek the Lord for them. Working of miracles. The Lord will use you to do something that just cannot be done in the natural, like casting out devils. The disciples come to Jesus and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbid him. And Jesus said, oh, forbid him not. No man that does a miracle in my name shall lightly speak evil of me. Which means casting out devils would be working a miracle. So we have that gift available to us to work miracles, pursue the Lord for it. to another prophecy. The Lord will use you to speak for something that He, God, wants to be heard. You then become His voice. It's simple. That's what prophecy is. And listen to this. This is a marvelous gift. It's called the gift of prophecy. Now, this gift can be used by any child of God from time to time. You don't have to really be a called-out prophet to prophesy. As he or she is yielded to the Holy Spirit, has developed his or her spirit. Others have spent a lot of time praying, a lot of time with the Lord, have the Spirit beloved storm. When the Spirit of God is moving in a congregation or in a room, I've seen this many times, when the Spirit of God moves, if you are fine-tuned, you can step out and prophesy. He wants us to covet this gift of prophecy. He's looking to use your voice. I ask you, Fred, can he count on you? God's looking for reps here. God's looking for people that will speak for him by the Spirit. He's looking for a few good men and women. When the Spirit of God is moving and you step into the flow and you feel like a little pressure, you just feel like you need to say something, you open your mouth and God will fill that mouth and you can prophesy. You do not have to be a called-out prophet to prophesy. Paul says, follow after charity, love, and desire spiritual gifts. Desire these gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. You know why he said that? God is looking for representatives, like I said. God's looking for people that will talk for him. It's pretty clear, isn't it? He said, Paul said, that you might prophesy. He wants all to prophesy. God wants to have a voice out here. God wants to be heard. God speaks, but if anybody picks up on it, runs with it, and doesn't prophesy, God can't minister to his people. And he breaks it down, Paul does. There's nothing here is confusing whatsoever. Everything I'm telling you is clear in the Bible. But you may all prophesy. What does that say? That means everybody can prophesy. You may all prophesy one by one. That means any person at a certain time when the Spirit of God's moving, if his spirit's built up, if his a person of faith, Paul says, for you all may prophesy one at a time, one by one, that all may learn. See, this is not something to be heard. This is something to be taught. You all might learn, and all might be comforted. Are you being taught? Are you being trained? Most likely not. See, this is so clear. He says, start with, I don't want to be ignorant. I'm going to teach you these things. He said, if you be ignorant, you be ignorant. Most people choose to be ignorant. But listen here. You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and that all may be comforted. That means all of us can do these things, but you know, we need to be taught these things. If we're not hearing from the pulpit, if we're not hearing from the people we're following, we're not going to learn. But Paul wants us to learn. He says, do it. And it's an amazing thing. If you've got somebody that really leads you and you make a mistake, you can be great. We've got to learn here. He said, you may all prophesy one at a time that all may learn, which means all is going to learn. All needs to be trained and taught. Because you're not going to do these things if somebody don't take the time to train you and to teach you and to correct you. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophecy, says. I mean, you need to be fine-tuned here with much space to do this, but the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. You don't have to. When you're in a room and you sense the spirit of God's moving, you may not be fine-tuned that day, and you may not hear, and you may not be able to bring forth a word. But the next time, next week, you might. But somebody in that room can. So if you don't feel like you have it, shut up. You don't have to say anything. God will find somebody. There's more people than you. We may all prophesy, but the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You're not always, because you can prophesy, demand us to do it. There's times when God don't want you to speak. I've been through that many times. I think, this needs to be heard. This needs to be heard, but I didn't feel like I have it. Somebody across the room speaks it out. Simple as that. You don't always have to prophesy that you can manage the problem. You can manage this. If you're a called out prophet, God may give you a specific thing to go do. But in a study, in the church, and we're being taught here, when the Spirit of God is moving, it's up to you whether you prophesy or whether you don't. He that prophesies now speaks in demand to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's in the church. He speaks to men. He edifies. He builds them up. He exhorts them in the church. He speaks to men, not to himself, okay? So these gifts should be practiced, all right? The office of the prophet will, in most cases, operate in a higher realm of revelation. He's got his mouth. He'll speak with more authority. He's called by God to this ministry. His job. He's a called out man. He hears a little more clearly. This is his calling. Then he called apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Well, this is this man's calling, and he'll be more clear with it in a higher realm of revelation than probably the average person. He might have a dream. I've had a dream in the middle of the night. The Lord caught me up and showed me a man. I'm calling this man into the ministry in the middle of the night. The next morning, 8 o'clock, I sat down at the breakfast table and looked that man in the face. I had never seen that man before in my life, and there he is. And I had been with that man at 2 o'clock in the morning with the Lord. So that's how clear God could do things. I mean, it's a marvelous thing. We need to step out and say, God, I want all that you have for me. I want to get going here. I want to edify the church. I want to do the work of the ministry. I want to do it right. Now, prophecy tongues, this is interesting here. That's giving forth a message from God by the Spirit. It becomes prophecy when it's interpreted. It's a very pure or a sure word of prophecy. Talk about it. Listen, this is something I need to talk about. Here, I just want you to talk about this with you a little bit. This is a marvelous gift. If somebody gives a message in tongues, and I'm not talking about praying. I am talking about somebody speaking forth a message in tongues, and then someone else interprets it. It may be the person speaking may interpret it, or it may be somebody across the room interpret it, but it's a very pure gift, and it's prophecy once it is released. Tongues interpretation is the same as prophecy. It works like this. If you get the interpretation, what makes this so pure? When you prophesy, you know, that's you speaking, and you have to really guard yourself about putting in a word of your own. I mean, you do this unconsciously. You're speaking for the Lord when you prophesy. But you got to guard yourself against yourself. You got to know when to stop, not to say too much, to say the right things, to make sure you don't say what God didn't say. You got to be careful. But when you interpret a message, it's different. The Spirit of God comes up on you, and you'll see maybe one word, just one word. You speak out that one word. Could be anything. Could be hallelujah. When you open your mouth to speak that one word, and then I don't know how it works with other people, but me, I just begin to see words and just chase those words. It's as pure as it can be pure. You don't have time to think. It's spontaneous flow. You don't think. You don't have 1 second to think. You just speak the words you see in front of you. So it's very, very pure, and it's almost hard to make a mistake. So tongues interpretation, in my opinion, is a little bit more pure than just trying to prophesy itself. To another, discerning of the spirits. This is also the most wonderful, valuable gift. The Holy Spirit will show you the spirit of the person you're trying to help, whether good or bad. Now, he won't show you how to judge the person. You won't know nothing about the person. But if the person is struggling inside, if the person has a spirit that's not right, he may have a spirit of depression. He don't even know it. He just knows he's been miserable all his life. He's had all these problems. He may have oppression. He may have depression. He could have a spirit of lust. He could have anything driving him. And you see that spirit. And you cast that spirit. And it's a marvelous thing. Discerning the spirits is a wonderful gift. And also, you can have something very pure about him. I've seen this many times, and the person didn't notice. I can see something special about them that they didn't know. When I point that out to them, that gives them something to begin to grow into and to pray about. I can tell them, you know, I see God. Maybe you hear, you make a great speaker for the Lord. God wants you to preach the gospel. You know, he has no clue. But when he hears that, then it begins to bring life from God, and he becomes aware of it, and God can develop him in that area. He may have not known that. So the discerning of the spirits is a marvelous, wonderful gift. To another, different kind of tongues. Now this is, notice this, different kinds of tongues. Not one tongue, different kinds of tongue. One to pray. That's interesting. Now, one to pray, to give your spirit a voice. That's one thing, to pray in tongues. Your spirit bypasses the mind realm, goes directly to the Lord. This is the wonderful, marvelous gift. It removes all possibility of doubt when you pray, because you don't know what your spirit is speaking. This will also edify your spirit, make it strong. You'll learn to expect answers to prayer as your spirit grows and gets developed. This is a wonderful thing. Different kind of tongues. Now, this is one reason I kind of think all should be able to pray in tongues. It's really not totally clear in the scriptures. Many say it's not for everybody. Many say it is, but here's the thing about it. He says different kinds of tongues, and it gives you a voice, and it gives you, you can come before the Lord, and it gives you a leg up. Well, I kind of think God's not a respecter of persons, so I believe if anybody pursues this, they can learn to speak in tongues. I think it's a very wonderful gift that God gives us. Now, another thing now is he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Well, here's the thing. If you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. That means you build yourself up. Well, shouldn't that be available to all? I'm not putting this in concrete. You have to pursue the Lord yourself for the gift if you're not operating in it. But he that speaks in tongues, he edifies himself. He builds himself up. He's got a leg up above everybody else. Well, I'd pursue that. If I didn't have it, I'd be asking, I'd be seeking, I'd be knocking. But listen to this. He said, he that prophesies edifies the church. For the most part, the church has shut out these gifts. But God says, Paul said, this is the commandments of the Lord that I'm telling you. The one that prophesies edifies. You know what it is to edify the church? He builds the church up. I know a lot of churches that can need a little edification. He builds the church up. The one that prays in tongues edifies himself. The one that prophesies edifies the church, builds it up, makes it strong, encourages it. We need these gifts. Then he says this, I would that you all spoke in tongues. Does that sound like a good gift? Does that sound like something we should run from? Or does that sound like something we should run after and pursue? I wish, Paul said, I would. It would be better if all of you spoke in tongues. But rather now, I mean, brother, if you prophesy, that means he wants you to prophesy, he wants you to speak in tongues. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues. In other words, that's a more valuable gift to the people. That's a more valuable gift to the church. If you prophesy or if you speak in tongues and then interpret it. Except, Paul said, now Paul says this, except he interprets. So when he interprets, the tongue is the same value as prophecy. Not the church, not your brother, not your sister, not me, O Lord, but the church may receive edification. See again, these gifts are for the church, set in the church, arranged for the church, sent to the church by the Lord, that the church may receive edification. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he might interpret. And this is a marvelous gift. I've seen it so many times. People give forth a message. Somebody sitting across the room interpreted. I mean, it's the Spirit of God wanting to bring something fresh. He never brings doctrine down. Don't get me wrong. He never comes opposite of the Bible. But he edifies, builds the church up, encourages the church, moves them forward. It's a beautiful, marvelous gift. And he says, remember now, he that speaks in tongues, except he interprets, that the church may be edified. Who gets edified here? The church. Are you being taught and trained in your church to do these things? Is your church being edified? Are you receiving prophecy? Are you receiving tongues and interpretation? I am reading Bible here. We do Bible or we don't do Bible. And remember now, Paul said, the things I speak to here are the commandments of the Lord. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is not that it's not too fruitful. He says two things here now. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So that's another reason I think we can pray in tongues, because he said, my spirit prays. Well, he's not a respecter of persons. I believe that he wants all to operate in this power and in these gifts. So he said, my spirit prays. If my spirit prays, your spirit should be able to pray. But he said, my understanding is not fruitful. So what is it then? I'm going to do both. I'll pray with the spirit. Now see, he says that I will do both. Should you be able to do both? I'll pray with the spirit. Then I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the spirit. And I'll sing with the understanding also. Look, this is really pretty clear to me. It really, really is. It's just clear. You should be able to do both. And again, he said, and God has set some in the church first. Apostles. Do you know your apostle? Second, prophets. Do you know your prophet? Thirdly, teachers. He didn't mention pastor here, but we're assuming teacher, pastor is the same office. After that, do you notice the word after that? After these men, then this is what should follow. We should begin to see miracles, gifts of healings, helps properly reminding the governor of the church, and different kinds of tongues. After. Understand, this comes after these men. These gifts should follow these men. They should follow these men. Even so, you, for as much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel at the edification of the church. Wherefore, let him that speak in tongues pray that he may interpret. Then he says again, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He said, in the law is written, man, tongues, other tongues, will I speak to this people, and yet they'll not all understand. Listen, God loves you here. Give us a call if you have any question whatsoever now about these gifts. Give me a call, 221-1100, out of town, 888-221-89. I don't care what the question is. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you've been confused. Maybe you haven't been taught properly in your church. But if you have a question about these gifts, you give me a call here at 221-1100 or 888-221-8900. I don't care what the question is. It has to do with what we're talking about here. Spirit of God. The operation of the Spirit of God. Tongues. If you're confused, if you've been looking for an answer, never knew for sure, you can give me a call and I'll take the time with you to explain the gift to you or to talk to you about it. Give me a call here now. Give us a call, 221-1100, out of town, 888-221-8999. If you happen to be listening, know the Lord, not sure you're saved, you can give us a call here today and I'll show you how to make sure you have eternal salvation. Make sure your life is right with the Lord. Give us a call here. Go ahead, give us a call. What is it then, Paul says, brother, when you come together? That's not when you go to church. When you come together, every one of you, how many? Everyone, that's a lot of people, that's everybody. Have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let it all be done decently and in order to the edification of the body of Christ. Are you seeing this in your church? If not, you need to talk about it in church. You need to get together and get it going. I mean, begin operating these things. Get it going in your church. Listen, the Lord loves you. He wants you to know that. Give us a call if you have any questions whatsoever about these gifts. Anything at all. I don't care what it is. You give us a call. We'll help you. Also, look, we need support for our ministry. We just come every week. We do everything we can to bring you the true word of the Lord. And we need help for the finances. It's Bob Allen Ministries. Post Office Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34952. Bob Allen Ministries. Post Office Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34952. Or email us. And also, if you have any questions about the gifts, give me an email. Just three words, remember, Bob Allen Ministries. Bob Allen Ministries, gmail.com. Bob Allen Ministries, gmail.com. Don't care what the question is, what your need might be. Maybe it's another thing. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. Just maybe you might have struggles in your life you just don't know how to handle and you can't find the one to talk to. You get up with us. We'll help you out. We really will. And don't forget now, come on out to Easter Sunday service, sunrise service, 6:30 Sunday morning at the FIT campus on in Indian River. Beautiful campus. Son Atlanta's going to be drumming there. Come and hear him. He's pretty good. Come and check him out. But look, give us a call if you have any misunderstanding about these gifts whatsoever. You need help. It's 221-1100 out of town, 888-221-8999. And look, we really need help with this ministry. It's been a long time. Another one thing we'd like to know, are you listening out there and enjoying this program? Even if you're not helping, email us. Let us know some way. The fact that we're not taking any much money makes us think maybe we're not helping anyone. And that's a bad sign. So we need to know, are we helping people or not? So we need to hear from you. Bob Allen Ministries. Post Office Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34952. Email us at BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. If you are a listener, would you please just email and say, just let us know you're there. BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We need to be encouraged. We need to know where we should keep going or drive our dust to another pond. BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Send us a check to Bob Allen Ministry. To Bob Allen, Post Office Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida. God bless you. Now we're going to see you again next week. Look, the Lord loves you. Pursue Him for these gifts. Let grow. And get yourself built up in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Get into Scriptures. Read chapters 12, 13, 14, 1 Corinthians. God bless you now. See you next week.
You've been listening to Lifeline with your host, Bob Allen. A broadcast ministry brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Bob Allen Ministries, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is BobAllenMinistries@gmail.com. Thank you for listening and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.